Hey, hello, and welcome to yet another episode of Yoga, Chai and a Dog. Here I'm again, Deepak, and your co-host.
Hi, Arshita here.
And we have Lulu again. So, we got a message and a request from one of our listeners. His name is Basharat Malik from Watford. And let's listen to what he has to say.
Hey Deepak and Archana, congratulations on starting this podcast. I've been listening to some of them and they are brilliant. They really are very, very good. And there's a very good feel-good factor. The fact that you've included dog in this conversation along with as well and there's a bit of barking in the back, it's absolutely brilliant. So excuse me if I use the word barking, but that's the correct word I would say. But they are absolutely brilliant. So keep it up. Keep up the good work. And I was listening to the gratitude the other day as well. So they're quite nice as well. The camaraderie between you two is pretty good. And well done, Archana. You come across extremely confident. And this message is now for Deepak. Hey, Deepak, you come across less confident. And I want you to be a man. Come on, be a man and show her, you know, who the man is in the house. Now, oops, see, this is what I keep telling. Be a man in the house. That is something I want you to have a discussion about, more like a feminism terminology. So in this case, it's more like just to understand, you know, where the equal rights are and what we're doing and how we're going ahead with it. The fact that I said this, be a man in the house, is part of this disease itself. We feel being a man in the house means he controls everything. What about being a woman in the house? That should be a case as well. But I just think these stereotypical words and everything that we can avoid going forward in future is something that's a beginning. But an underlying difference between women's rights and men's rights need to be equally distributed in the sense that we don't want men to act like a woman or women to act like a man. Feminism is a very, you know, wide term. Yay! And it needs to be, you know, addressed the correct way. So as much as you can talk about it, I think it's definitely worth it. But, you know, on the overall, excellent job so far for having this podcast done the right way. And keep it up and enjoy yourself, enjoy your company, and good luck to both of you.
Woo! Thanks, Basharat. Thanks a lot for your message.
Thanks. It was really kind of you to send this message.
Yes, but I really don't know where to begin. He has touched upon a lot of topic. Like he has talked about the femininity and feminism, femininity, masculinity. I could also sense. He talked about, you know,
women and
empowerment, and there was some stereotyping, though he didn't use that word. Archana, your initial thoughts. What do you think of that?
I think it's a really. I think that Basharat is very much aware of the thing what he was talking, because if somebody as a man and especially coming from a masculine side of it, where he can see the difference between come on, be a man, and saying this is something which triggers inside a question. Is a very well, it's really very, very good, because this is the awareness of now getting into the feminine and masculine energy, where we could see what stereotyping is. So like a girl, when she's taking care, you know, when a young girl, she's really taking care of things and, you know, a bit more leadership quality. So she's called as bossy. So it's time to change that. Because it's not bossy, she has got more talent towards leadership quality. So it's just this is something very good, and I would love to talk about this. What do you think, Deepak?
I have a different. So he talked about Deepak. Come on, show who is the man in the house, and you know, and I'm thinking more in terms of gender stereotypes. A man in the house has to act like a man and be a macho and whatever. And
no,
you know.
But you might have taken it wrong, because he say that. He said that this type of temperament when people come with. So he is not in favor of that.
No. I'm not saying he's in favor of that. But I think we're living in the 21st century. We are two decades down 21st century. And feminism and as a concept which emerged, I don't know. 30 years back, 50 years, more than that, right?
More than that.
Yeah, much more than that. Yeah, so, and we still struggle with such kind of stereotypes. And the thing is, so I remember, like, had three elder sisters. So a lot of influence and, you know, a lot of early friendship was essentially, you know, my sisters and her friends. And probably when I grew up a bit old, I mean, like, you know, when I was 10 or something, I was literally kind of pushed out to go out and play with the boys. Okay, play cricket and play football because they were macho sports. Okay, but at the same time, I was more interested in painting. I was more interested in music and those kind of things. And those, they're like sissy things, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, you know, you're a boy, you're a man, you will go out to be a man.
That's the word what people use, like sissy.
Yes.
And if you are asking a boy to play cricket and football and tennis and any of those games, especially cricket, football and rugby, so why not a girl? Why don't you ask your girl to play that? And it's still, it's changing, but it's a very slow change.
Changed. When you said that, I suddenly, a thought that came to my mind was, it is T20 cricket and then women's T20 cricket. So why the first one should be men's T20 cricket?
Exactly. and if we would go deeper into that, the salary also, it's very different. And we also have that conditioning. If we are watching, we are cricket fan coming from Asia. I think most of us, we watch cricket, and we watch men's cricket actually. Yeah. But the women cricket from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, they are doing so good in women cricket, but we hardly watch women cricket because it's such a shame, because this is the conditioning. This is what we have been taught, that okay, men can do this, women can do this. And this is what in any of the supermarket, when you would go, there is a pink section, there is a blue section. Blue section is for the boy, pink is for the, but maybe a boy like pink. So what would you
I
do?
I like pink. I've got pink shirts.
I know, Deepak, with you, and I'm just going deeper here into the psychology. When you are raised in a family, when you have more sisters and your mother is there, so the person can really open up into their feminism. But at the same time, in that family, if your father figure and the mother figure wants you to be really like a boy, so there the conditioning come, because they use the word, oh, you are boy. Grow up like a boy. Don't cry. These are the words which generally a boy would hear it often. And that is really very damaging for anyone actually who is hearing this, because they stop showing their emotion. The more we allow the boy or a girl to show their emotion, whatever they are feeling, irrespective of whatever sex they are, it's really good for their own growth. And it's good for others also, because then we would see less and less men who would beat up their wife, or they don't listen to their, you know, they are not like a, they don't behave like a false man ego, because they numb themselves. They are not allowed to show their emotions. So in any condition, they would behave like nothing is wrong.
Yeah, so okay, let's not get into the historicity of it, because we know what is there, right? The thing is that it still continues, and that is something that is of interest, because why at this stage would you still have a masculine image or a macho image as compared to a female image, and why people still perpetuate it? What's the reason? I mean, I would have understood it probably, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, there was still a lot of gender divide. But today, I mean, it's not there. Go to a workplace, they are female workers, they are male workers, you know, they do the same job. These days, in every house, the men contribute as much to running the house as in maintaining the house, if required cooking, if required, you know, taking care of the babies and all that. But still today in 2019, we are discussing, you know, the male role and the female role and the stereotypes and the gender biases. Why? Why does it not go away?
Sorry to say that, Deepak, but you are just addressing a very few percentage of men who you are talking about, because there are still men, and we are talking about some very few. I would say the percentage, I don't remember the numbers, but a few days back I was reading, and the number is very low of these type of men who are supporting a woman and who are doing the work as if you know what he is saying. So maybe we are seeing more and more in our friend circle and everything. But women who lives in villages these days, still, there are women who are living in suburb also and in cities also. They are also facing this. So it's not a problem. And why this is still it's there? Because maybe how conditioning can be taken out from our system if it's not working for us. This we should ask the question. So it's something which we have been trained and which we have got it from our.
I think it's our DNA. Yeah.
By birth. But yeah. The thing is, when we grow up, we should know that this is coming from our conditioning. So if somebody will say like racism, like stereotyping, these all are conditioning which we have got it from our parents, from our society or whatever. But as a grown-up, we would see that how we could change it. So, and I would give you an example. Once I was with my daughter, and my daughter is also very observant in things like that. Our daughter, sorry. So I looked at someone and something came into my mind. And when I said that to her, and I said, I'm so sorry, I thought this way. And she said, that's okay, mom, because this is your conditioning. But the minute you said, I'm sorry about it, this is what you are making your DNA change. And when we change, we pass it to the coming generation. So it's important for us to know this is not right. This is not right to tax someone, to say a man not to cry, to say a woman not to be in a leadership quality or something like that, to say a small girl that she's bossy. This term, we should not use it. And if we are using it, we should use it with very rational thing that, okay, she has these quality to become a boss. So it's something which is a very good quality. It's nothing bad. Yeah.
So, okay. So one thing is that you are not, you know, transferring your biases to your kids, which is a good thing, like the example that you gave. But then let's say I grew up in a family where there was this conscious and subconscious and unconscious biases that were passed around. Now, is there a way where I, being aware that, yes, I do carry these biases, and how do I get rid of these biases?
So let's be clear about your question. So you are asking that.
So I mean, kids, fine. Yeah. I mean, we are aware, and we would not let our kids have a same bias, and hence we are like.
You have to change your bias. Yeah.
No, but that bias is deep rooted in me. As I said, it was in my DNA. Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, if I want to change it so that tomorrow I do not look when I look at a woman, I do not look at her, you know, as being capable of doing a sissy role only, or when I expect my son to kind of go and climb the mountains and whatever and fight wars and whatever, how can I get rid of that? Is there a way in which you can reset your biases?
Yes, I really think this is called in a beautiful term, this is the awareness of who we are as a human. So first of all, we have to see we all are human, irrespective of what sex, color and origin we are coming from. So if we see human as a human, so there is no question of seeing someone different than us, actually. Yeah. And then it's something which is like, you know, when the Me Too movement happened, a lot of men, they really think, oh, it's too much. But if you really have to, and a lot of women also felt it is too much.
Yeah,
but when you look at the background of it, you know, if someone has been, we watched so many documentaries, serial, we read so many stuff, what has happened with the woman. Still, if we really think that Me Too movement is too much, so we have to research more. Because just getting into something which we really think is right and it has not served, there are a lot of people who are raising their voice against it. So there must be something very deep rooted, and it can be worked. It can be worked by our own awareness that when we treat someone as equal, when we treat. So I am not against feminism or anything like that. But with feminism, I also feel like we all have to see that is Shiva and Shakti. In yoga, we call it Shiva and Shakti. So we are like two wheels. We are not different. But we, if we really can see each other beauty, we could just be so good in this world rather than being divided by this opinion of what female can do and what. So I would say, Deepak, that when, you know, Deepak is very emotional when he watches TV or any emotional
stuff. I cry.
So he cries, yeah? So when
when I was a kid and when I would go family to the movie and see a movie, and if I would cry, then I say, don't be a sissy. I mean, you're a boy. You cannot cry. Okay, fine. Okay.
Yeah, so this is what most of the boy they encounter. So I remember when I got married, so I was not very much aware of these concepts. And that is, again, you know, it was not my fault. It's our conditioning. It's in our DNA. So when he used to cry, so sometime I used to just think, oh my God, he's crying, and maybe make fun of him. Yeah. But then slowly when I
okay.
when I started working on these, you know, what is feminine energy, what is masculine energy, and I was in a workshop, I was talking to a lady and I said that my husband, he is very emotional when he, and she said, isn't it so beautiful when a man cries? And I
really look very beautiful when I cry. Yeah.
and when she said that, it really touched me in a way, and I said, wow, I never thought so. She said, yes, I think that person is brave enough to embody his feminine side. So have you ever think about it? When we do something, so a woman, when she goes out in a war, or maybe if she is raising her kids, and isn't it beautiful to see how she is embracing her masculine? So same with men, if they are trying to raise their kids, so there are single men also, they are raising their kids, and they are cooking, they are cleaning, and they become like they are taking care of their home. I don't see now it as a failure or anything, because maybe the society would see it as a failure because he is the provider. But I see it as a beautiful thing that a man has embraced himself fully in his masculine and feminine energy.
So that's interesting. So, you know, you talked about the feminine side of a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was being gender neutral to say person, but no, here I have to be gender specific and say, yeah. How can men get awareness about their feminine side?
Is it
the yin or yang?
Feminine side is yin, which is night, which is dark, which spreads, which is non-logical. That is the feminine side.
Yeah.
Masculine side is pointed, logical. It's light, so that is yin and yang from the Chinese concept. So
okay.
Deepak has just Deepak knows a lot of stuff, because when I talk to my clients or sometimes, you know, when I write, so he does the editing. So yes, it's a very good yin and yang, masculine and feminine. So your question was
the man be aware of the feminine side?
Yeah, so...
Or do they not even need to be aware? I was never aware that I had a yin side, but I would cry. Yeah, I would feel emotional. And only when you did your courses and you started coaching and you do a lot of consultancy and you write only, then I was there. Oh, right, that's the yin side. Great. Okay, fine.
Yeah, so how does a man know that it's or how does a woman know that it's their masculine side?
Yeah,
so it's for the men. I have come across with a lot of clients, working with a lot of my teachers. What I found that some men has never touched base their feminine energy and feminine side because of their upbringing. So they are maybe they are raised between the boys a lot, or if they are raised between the girls also, but they have to really let go of their feminine side. So that's very hard on that boys. And those boys, the research shows, the boys whose feminine side is never being allowed to express, they become a bully in their marriage, in their relationship, because they don't know how to outlet that feminine side. So sometimes what happened when that person, when they get married, so with their wife, they don't find still the feminine side is locked. But if they have a daughter in their home, and if and when they hold their daughter into their arms, and sometime it unlocks the feminine energy, because this is how they start knowing. There is a lot of work on this where you would see that a person really changes when they have daughters in their life, and or if they have sisters in their life. So this is something which is like running in the family where you could do. But how if you have got no daughter, and you have all
no wife,
and if you have all you have been raised between brothers, how would you start doing that? So sometimes it helps when you are going into a coaching with someone, if you really think you are struggling, because when you are not expressing yourself, you would find there is a lot of energy intact in your body, and those energy is like frustration, stress, anger, too much of anger,
which results into crying,
and which results into like bullying. And which can be like very adamant and like very arrogant in their way. So some people, when they find this in their system, that they really are, and they sometimes they would just touch base their feminine and they think why they were so angry. So those type of people would really benefit from any coaching or any counseling where they could open their feminine. And the second thing which they could do is any creative activity, because feminism is related to creativity. So creative activity like music. Music is very feminine. Drawing, painting, dancing. Dancing again, because you dance, you start. And then doing yoga, meditation, these type of stuff, and reading some books which really make sense. So, but people would not go for reading. Those type of people would not go for deep reading like this. So for them, it's much better to do something where their energy is expressed. And sometime rather than watching a football match, you should play football. Because that's also a very, because most of the men who are very macho type, they don't play any game because their energy is not expressed in anywhere. So they are sitting in front of telly, having beer and crisp, and they are just watching the telly. So if they go out and play football or whatever thing they are interested in, any of those masculine stuff also, their energy would start flowing, and then they combine it with the creativity of the feminine side. So maybe gardening, maybe planting a tree can make a difference. So there are a lot of, and maybe having a pet also. It's not, because when you what is feminine is to taking care of, to love someone,
have a girlfriend, so, not a pet.
it's like, but the thing is, they have to first do it with like, not with it's having a girlfriend. You have made it in a fun way, but there is a difference when a person doesn't know the feminine side. So they have to start doing it from unlocking it by nature rather than with human. So the nature provides us a lot of opportunity to open our feminine or masculine ends.
And then conversely, for women who have never opened, who have never awakened their yang side, yin yang side. What do they need to do?
I think I'm the perfect example here, because I feel
you never awakened your yang side.
And now I work on.
Come on, you lift weight more than me.
And this is what I'm coming to, because again, like Deepak, I was raised between four sisters and one brother. So I'm very, very like very feminine from my lot of thing what I do. I have ideas, I am very creative, I am non-logical, I flow. But there are a lot of things where I feel like my masculine need to be tapped more to get into the thing what I really want, to manifest anything. So the point is, when we have this balance of masculine and feminine, and when we start knowing it, it is by doing this, I can open up my masculine. So I would say a female, a woman, when she doesn't know what their masculine is something where they are a bit more lazy. I would say the creative people are lazy. They are more like they live in a dreamland. So I'm one of those. They have more ideas. They can create something, they can care for something, but at the end result, when they are going to get to that point where they would invest in, they just lose interest.
They are ideators. There will be a lot of ideas, a lot more ideas, but then, and they will play with ideas for some time, but then when it comes to implementing it, they would say, oh, that's a boring part, I'm not interested.
So like writing a book. So I'm writing book and I'm writing daily or whatever, but my daughter, she said, editing should be done by you. Nobody else would do first editing, first draft, second draft.
No, and she said,
but you know, I lose interest in that.
Yeah.
So how would I start doing? So what he said, weightlifting. For me, weightlifting was big macho thing for me. Like I really felt like, yes, you know, when I lift weight, I feel like I can express myself somewhere. When I do any of those type of exercise, you know, which is very challenging to me for my body. So, and I find that sometime I'm opening my masculine side and then talking to others, talking to male parts. So, you know, having friends who are male, and when you talk to them, so other than your husband, because the thing is, feminine is more comfortable in the home where they live.
Yeah, and among the family.
So, and among the family and friends. But if you step out and interact with the world, you sometime open up your masculine too. But there would always be a domination of one factor or the other. So for me, I still feel I'm more yin. Deepak, I think you are also very creative and everything, but at the same time, I think his masculine energy also flows. So
flows. She's not very sure.
It's like he's also getting into the world, earning money or whatever. So it's earning money is what, why I said that, because it's like hunting and gathering was the thing what men used to do. Yeah. So this was the old, is the stereotyping. So again, you know, look, this is the conditioning, how it comes to. But masculine is more to be in light, to go, to achieve something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was great. So I hope, Bashrat, thank you very much again for your comments. And I hope that answers your question. And if you're not, please, you know, do ask more. Your thoughts are always welcome. I hope, guys, that was something that you learned, you picked up from there in this podcast. And before I sign off, there is a small request. If you like what we are doing, if you really enjoy listening to our podcast, please subscribe to our podcast. Please give us a rating. Your rating means a lot. If you subscribe, and you know, and if you give a rating, it means more people become aware of our work, and you help spread the word, and that's all that we ask for. And but if you're really feeling more generous, you can also visit our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/yogachaidog, and you can leave any donations. You're most welcome to write to us. Our email ID is yoga.chai.dog@gmail.com. You can talk to us on Instagram, which is @yogachaidog, or on Twitter, which is @yogachaidog1. And Archana, any final words?
I just wanted to say that we were talking about feminine energy. So I do a lot of workshop on awakening the feminine energy, awakening the masculine energy. So if you are interested in any of those, and I can do it in anywhere, you know, if you are more than 8 people. So I can come to your city, I can do the workshop. So, and maybe in near future, there would be some online stuff too on this.
One of the things that we would like to offer is, any of our listeners is interested in an open consultation. And by open consultation, we mean that we would be recording that consultation and then we would release it as a podcast. If you want to have a consultation for free with us, Archana, you know, you're most welcome. You can book a time with us, and then we will do the proper consultation. But at the same time, as I said earlier, we will record the conversation and we will bring it out as a podcast, right?
Yeah.
So that's always, that option is always there. Yeah. So thank you very much for listening. Till the next week, it's bye-bye from me.
Bye-bye from me too. Bye-bye. And bye-bye from you too.